Hey, this is Allison.
And this is Britt.
These are the true stories about the good, the bad, and the funny.
Shared by you, but told by us.
This is GabFest.
Let's gab.
We are rolling and we're back.
Hey guys.
We hope you're having an amazing summer.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that we've kicked off summer. We're officially in the season. And that is, you know, kind of why we decided to do the topic that we are doing today.
This is a topic we've done before.
Yeah, but just once.
So if you've been a longtime gabber, you'll know. But if you're new to this podcast, which I know we do have some new listeners recently, you can go back and listen to, I think it's either season one or season two.
It's season one.
And I'm pretty sure it's called Happy Campers.
Yeah.
And it talks all about camping. But we thought, 'tis the season.
Yeah.
It's summer. There's a lot of you heading out.
My guess is people went camping for Memorial Day weekend.
Probably, which if you were around here, because it was pouring rain.
Rained out.
Yeah, which I feel like is an omen if I by chance do go camping, it's going to rain on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like a lot of times I've camped, which isn't many, but a lot of the times I've camped,
it's rained.
Yeah.
And it makes things really miserable.
Totally. So if you haven't guessed already, today we decided to ask our gabbers for camping stories.
Yeah. But before we get rolling, what do you have for your someday
you'll laugh about this moment? My husband and I have become beekeepers in the last year. So a friend in our neighborhood, she's the one that's been teaching us. She's like very knowledgeable. It just so happened she had said, do you want your younger kids to come play? And when I was dropping off, she goes, I just got a call from a neighbor and they have a swarm. Do you want to come and get the swarm with me?
Well, so they have a swarm of bees,
yes,
and they say, please come get it off the property or
yes.
What?
Yeah, because, and I mean, most of the time, the bees are just resting and they're trying to find somewhere.
Okay.
And they probably swarmed a hive that was overcrowded or different things like that. And so she was like, if you want to come, like we can, because she has all these hives in these boxes. So she's like, what you do is you capture them, you get them into a hive so they have a place.
Okay.
And then, and so she's got multiple hives already, but she still has more boxes because she's awesome. She's a bee lady. It was very exhilarating. So I was literally like in my bee suit, like grabbing handfuls of bees.
So
trying to
hold on. I'm trying to get this visual. I feel like you're skipping over the best part. you and this neighbor woman.
Yes.
Are dressed in full bee garb.
Yes.
And walk over
yes.
down the street
mm-hmm.
in your full suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
She helped me get all suited up. And she just so happened, because I have a top. I don't have a bottom because I usually just wear normal pants.
Okay.
But I felt like in this situation.
You need full body.
I needed full body.
Yeah. Like, I would not feel comfortable otherwise.
Right.
So I'm just picturing you guys looking.
Well, we got dressed in her driveway, but people were driving by.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is what I'm trying to really point out.
And her daughters, she has all girls. They were watching from the window, like watching us, you know, and we're like.
Dare to dream, girls.
And my friend Miranda was just like, grab a handful. I'm like, oh boy. But like when I'm telling you, it's so crazy when you, I mean, I'm holding hundreds of bees.
Are you running and chasing?
No, because they.
Oh, that would have been better.
They have this instinct to protect the queen.
Okay.
So they all ball up. So the neighbor had this retaining wall of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been hilarious to watch us like.
That's what I was picturing when you were telling
net,
this
like
story.
Trying to like get bees.
Yeah. Well, you were telling my kids you were capturing with your hands. So I'm just picturing you chasing and grabbing.
No.
In their suit.
They are. At resting phase. They're not in flight. They're against this rock wall in this cluster.
They were in flight.
They're in cluster. That would have been funny. I would have paid someone to video it for me. And we were just crouched down in these rocks and just digging bees out of the crevasse. And we didn't find the queen at first and we were nervous because they got to have a queen.
Okay.
And then my friend started pulling out the trays that we had put them in one by one. Finally found the queen. And then you have this little clip and you clip her. And that she can stay in this little clip.
Okay.
And then the other bees can get in and out to feed her.
Okay.
But then you just have to clip her to get her to stay so she doesn't flee again.
Right.
And then eventually you unclip her.
You're not going anywhere.
The queen stays in the house.
You stay.
And you just keep cranking out those baby bees. So that was a really exhilarating and new experience for me. And it was fun. It was fun.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, let's get into our topic. Or as I like to call them, horror stories.
Well, as you might know, Britt and I are not campers. And for those of you who've been listening for a while, you're well aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was mentioned in that last episode. Plus, it's gotten mentioned before.
Yeah.
And once again, we'd like to clarify, that doesn't mean we're not outdoorsy types.
We're not like sissified Tweety Birds.
I feel like people think that if you don't camp, you're sissy.
Yeah. And that's not it.
No.
I can appreciate.
I can get
down and dirty. I can hike. I can fish.
I just appreciate
a bed and a shower.
A bed and a shower, you know, and not feeling like disgusting and cold and uncomfortable and things like that.
Right. And the amount of time it takes to do the simplest of tasks when you're camping.
Yeah.
Is where it's like what really gets me.
We live in the modern age for a reason.
Our ancestors are looking down on us like, what? What?
Just kidding.
Well, this listener is a second submission listener because he submitted another one about, if you guys remember, I can't remember what episode it was, but he submitted about he was camping in Havasu Pie and the ghost, ghost Native American indigenous woman that he ran into.
You guys, what's happening? I'm really scared I'm going to see a ghost soon because the two podcasts that I listened to this morning were started like delve into the supernatural. And I'm like, and it wasn't very normal for either of these podcasts.
Yeah.
One of them is a movie podcast. One of them is an office recap podcast.
Okay. So it shouldn't have been the topic of conversation.
And I'm like, why is everyone talking about ghosts? It's not even Halloween. And now we're here again. I'm very scared.
Well, this listener, I just had to reference that story because he said he has another one and it's like similarly creepy.
Okay.
This listener said he was camping with a group, but he had his own tent and was sleeping in it by himself.
That's scary. I mean, maybe as a dude, you're like, this is fine. I like my space.
Sprawl out in this
tent.
But
I need to hold on to someone. Yeah. And make that and hold them in front of me if something happens to unzip the tent.
Well, get ready.
Uh-oh.
When you said unzip the tent. You're very in tune today.
with the spirits.
He said, so one night he was sleeping by himself and he was suddenly startled awake and sat up. He was breathing super heavily and his heart was pounding and he couldn't see anything because they're in the wilderness.
And it's dark.
In the middle of the night and it's dark. But he heard the zipper sound of his tent door.
Stop.
When he sat up. That's probably what like woke him up.
Right.
So he reached his hand forward just instinctively to like stop whatever was going to be coming through the, you know, tent door.
The threshold.
And he said, as he reached forward, he found that the zipper on his tent was fully zipped up. So that means someone or something
had just zipped it.
Was in my tent. Was in his tent.
The front door, literally.
And when he was startled awake, they must have been leaving and zipping up the door.
Oh my gosh.
He said he laid awake the rest of the night, too scared to move. And in the morning, he decided, I'm going to ask all the people I'm with, if you accidentally like stumbled into my tent, you know, maybe you went pee and you came stumbling to the wrong tent and nobody knew what he was talking about.
Gosh.
Or at least nobody owned up to it.
No, I would have been starting to get teary. I'd be like, seriously, you guys, I'm not mad. I just need you to say it.
Or else I'm leaving.
Just please.
It's going to take me 4 days, but I'm
get
leaving.
Out of here. But no, I really would have really gotten to that level of like teary. I'd be like, I'm not mad. I promise. Yeah. It actually will make me a lot happier.
Yeah.
If someone here tells me they accidentally came in my tent.
And if you don't, I'm going to sleep with one of you and we'll be spooning.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Horrifying. So yeah, not only are just like the obvious reasons to not camp, but then also like you're going to get haunted or stalked by an escapee of the local mental asylum
or penitentiary or something. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest thing is like we've talked about this before, but tents just offer zero protection.
No.
Maybe from a tiny bit of wind.
You can,
even the
you
rain.
Can, yeah, you can it, take you a dull spoon and, it's like dewy. And if you give enough exertion, just get right through that nylon.
A plastic spoon. You know what I mean? I just don't feel like it's that protective. If I was a killer or a bear.
Well, you know, if you've ever worn a windbreaker or brushed up against like a berry bush.
Yeah.
It's gone. Snagged.
It's done. It's over. That fabric.
No more wind is broken.
No. And so I'm just saying like if I were a killer or a bear or a ghost. I don't know why the ghost would need to unzip it. Can it just pass through?
Yeah. So it's more horrifying that it was someone that needed to use the zipper. In my opinion.
Maybe.
IMO.
Maybe it was someone that was like homeless and along the trail or along the way and was like, I need to sleep somewhere. You know what I mean? And checking to see if there was any tents.
A vagabond.
Not. Yeah. Or a drunk person. I mean, none of these are great
options. I would be like, nuh-uh. Whatever this is, like burning the sage, chanting the things,
whatever, like that
rattling the
ring them in.
Stick.
You don't know what you're doing.
Right? No, I'd have to
inadvertently be summoning the spirits.
I'd need to do some research. Definitely. Yeah. I'm just those are just
maybe
off
watch
the cuff.
Like maybe watch like a few episodes of like Long Island Medium or something. You know,
and she could tell me exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this listener, they said their dad was telling them bear stories one night while they were camping. Horrible idea. You need
these dads.
I know it's a camping ritual to tell scary stories.
Right.
It just makes it all worse.
Right.
Any little rattle or whatever
right.
squeak is the murderer, is mm-hmm. the bear. And but for some reason, we always do it.
Yeah.
She said that they were in southern Utah and there are no bears, but she was still really scared. I think I would be too. So anyway, that night.
It's almost like the unknown, but you mm-hmm. just, the bear is your scapegoat.
Well,
your scape bear, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's almost just like, okay, logically I know there aren't any bears, but.
But like, what if?
But mountain lions are definitely down there and those feel equally scary pretty much. Mm-hmm. So that night, her family of seven was asleep in the tent. And then they heard something outside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They saw a huge shadow go across the tent. And then this large whatever it was started rubbing up against the tent, which is bear behavior.
Yeah.
I might
like
say.
Like scratching its
rubbing,
back.
Rubbing,
rubbing. I'm picturing like Jungle Book.
Well, yeah, Baloo.
Yeah. The bear is just again. Taking a minute, a little, taking a little breather and decides to stop right at your tent.
Once again, those like poles made out of aluminum foil are not going to hold up a bear's scratching.
No.
So anyway.
All of a sudden, the bear just literally like falls on the tent.
She was panicking, freaking out. Mm-hmm. She said, all of a sudden, it mooed.
I would actually be kind of scared still.
I really would be too.
What like if it so just trampled me?
Yeah.
Like, is it a bull?
I don't know.
Does it have horns?
Those hooves, once again, that nylon, if it takes a wrong step and steps on someone's hand.
Right. And just falls.
And how do you get that out of there? Hurrah! Yeah. Hurrah! Like, get out there, like,
everybody
move it,
in the
move it, you know? Yeah. Let's get this cow out of here. I can't sleep.
Right, because that tent's not going to make a darn bit of difference if
a thousand pound
steer falls on you.
Right.
And why is there just a cow?
Right, wandering. So many mysteries. We went camping once, and we were near kind of this, like, rocky area, and we had already spent, like, the full day and night. And then suddenly there was a rattlesnake in the rocky area. I'm like, cool.
The worst is if you find like a creepy crawler and then somehow it doesn't get taken care of. And so the rest of your trip or that night, you're like, we don't actually know where it is.
There's a legitimate rattlesnake.
Loose.
Yards from us.
And so it could be in the tent. It could be in my sleeping bag.
Like, we're going to take care of the rattlesnake. What are we going to do?
Yeah, are you not like a snake tamer?
No, I don't have that like stick with the hook to like heave it somewhere. You know what I'm talking
Brit
about?
Brit gets out like a flute. She's like, doo, 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 doo.
Someone else come up with a better solution, okay?
So this listener said when she was probably about 12, they went on a neighborhood camp out and they did this every year because, and she said it was a blast because her best friends were actually also their neighbors.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare when you can find that. Mm-hmm. When like your whole family lines up to where you can hang out together and you're all good friends. Anyway, good times. So let's ruin this by going camping. I'm just kidding. But this listener said,
yeah, let's test our relationship.
This particular year they brought their bikes and they were riding around the area and she crashed her bike into her friend's bike and they were trying to get the handle out of the spokes. Well,
okay.
When they suddenly looked up and saw a freaking bear several yards away a tree. She said, we all screamed, left the bikes.
Yeah, for sure.
And ran on foot. Like just took off.
Yeah.
Which from what everything I've heard, don't run.
What are you?
You're supposed to, from what I've heard, sidestep. No, really.
Like crab walk.
Yes. Crab walk and put your arm like.
Yeah.
Show their
you are not
zero
armed.
Threat because they are a predator. So as soon as you run, they will make chase. No, I'm serious. I could do a light Google just to like double check this. Mm-hmm. But as far as I understand, you're supposed to just step sideways. But at a certain point, you have to turn around. I don't know how to.
Yeah, like some.
You have to head to the direction you're
there's
supposed
no guarantee
to.
That sideways is the way you want to go.
Right.
So you have to step back diagonal, step, and bring it back.
Brit's making some choreography. The bear escape. So she said that night around the fire, they made sure to sing super loud and obnoxious because they wanted to scare the thing away. They banged lots of sticks together. Thanks, Parent Trap. And none of the kids wanted to sleep in the tents. So all of the tween girls, she's thinking there was about seven of them, slept in their neighbor's giant 13-passenger van. She said, but they did not actually sleep because it was so uncomfortable and
absolutely.
Hot. It's probably like straight up Titanic where like the windows were just fogged and stuff. And she said they were definitely not rolling down the windows because
a bear can fit its paw in
there. Of course,
the
bear would swipe and get you. And she said when everyone got up in the morning, they learned that the younger brothers had been absolutely terrified and didn't sleep well in the RVs with the adults. Because they probably had adults in the RVs, mm-hmm. and then the kids were all going to sleep out in tents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sounds, again, dangerous. Again, not to question anyone's parenting. I mean, I like to sleep, too. So this is why I don't care.
And like those kids, they can sleep on a rock and they'll be fine.
And
their
if we hear them
hurt.
Screaming, that's like our warning sign. So she said the boys ended up trying to sleep in the RVs with the adults and it didn't go well. Uh-huh. One of the friend's brothers, sorry, I just can't get this out. One of the one of her friend's brothers pooped his pants in the night.
Oh no.
Because he didn't want to get up and use the toilet for fear the bear would get him.
Oh my gosh.
And she said her brother cried and cried all night because the dad was snoring and it sounded like
a bear.
A bear. And she said,
it feels like it's in here with us.
So then they're like, it also smells like bear poop in here.
This is getting too real.
It smells like poop, animal poop. And I can hear him growling, scat. And she said, to top it all off, although this is unrelated to the bear situation, uh-huh. her mom and her mom's friends, who were BFFs, were walking around the whole time singing Without Me by Eminem. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, wait, round the outside.
Oh, the whole camping trip?
Yes. She said because they were in RVs and they thought that was just really funny. So she probably can't hear that song.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing these dorky little moms like raising the roof. Like two trailer park
girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
My name is what? My name is
who? Chicka Chicka Slim Shady.
So she just needed to add that because it makes it extra funny.
Part of the trip.
Pooping your pants.
It's extreme.
That's how I pooped my pants though. In like third grade.
Because you were too scared?
Because I went to go to inside the school. My friend was having softball practice. And mm-hmm. so no one was in the school. And the male janitor was in there. And I'm not stereotyping janitors. It was just a male man that I didn't know. And he was the only one in the school. And he was near the bathrooms.
Okay.
That scared me. So I decided to hold it. Which didn't turn out so well. Because then I pooped my pants. And if you want to know that story, you'll have to go back and also listen to other episodes. Because it has nothing to do with camping. But I understand that. Where you get to the point where you've built up the fear so much in your mind. Uh-huh. That pooping your pants seems like a better option.
Alternative.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you've hit a new low.
Yep.
Well, speaking of not being able to sleep. Mm-hmm. A listener wrote in and she said that they went to Lake Powell. And what they decided to do, instead of, I guess, trying to sleep a normal way, she and her friend thought it would be a really great idea.
Add a challenge to this.
Seriously. She and her friend, they got pool floaties and they put their sleeping bags on it.
Yeah.
And tried to float out and sleep on the pool floaties on their sleeping bags.
Where were
bags.
Their parents?
I know. Seriously, like someone's going to be like, what if you drowned? What if you flip in? What if you float really far away
what
and
if there's
we can't
a current?
Find you?
Yeah. And this is, again, parent trap.
Yeah.
But intentional.
Yeah. But she said we couldn't fall asleep because they thought something was going to eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Loch Ness. Nessie.
Like Placid Crocodile.
Right. But they probably were like, this will be so cool. Like
floating just rocking in the water. Like a water bed.
Like so serene. Which is also where all the mosquitoes are. You know what I mean? Like yes. They wake up just
on
eyes
the surface
swollen
of
shut.
The water.
Yeah.
Plus, I cannot even believe that they got on them.
Right. Got on them dry.
Dry. And kept their sleeping bags on top of them
right.
dry.
So they stayed out there all night?
Flipped. I think they must have called it.
Okay.
After they couldn't fall asleep for so long. And
did they have an oar?
Doesn't say. I'm guessing no. Because what pool floaties that you know of come equipped with an oar?
Right. And that is bold.
I'm like, the second I tried to climb on there with a sleeping bag and pillow, I would have flipped.
Right.
Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And then I would have been in my only pair of jammies, wet.
Yes. It's because you always want to pack light when you're camping.
Absolutely.
Because you have to pack the whole kitchen and all the yes. food and everything. So you're like, I need minimum clothes.
So now
clothes.
I'm sleeping in my swimsuit.
Right. Or nude. All right. Well, going along with the kind of scary things, I think this about wraps it up for those, but I could be wrong. This listener said they were camping. She was camping with her dad and friends, I think. And they were sitting around the campfire telling scary
ghost stories.
Mm-hmm. I was the culprit of telling the scary stories when mm-hmm. I did go camping.
Sometimes when you're the one telling them,
you don't get as scared. Mm-mm. It's true.
So it's a good technique.
You just take the reins. Anyway, and I've watched enough true crime that I've got plenty of real ones. I don't need to make any up. Oh, it was just her older brother and her little sister. And they were young enough to feel thoroughly freaked out, she said.
Just those three around the campfire? Or just those three camping?
With her dad around.
Oh, I was going to say, that's irresponsible parenting.
They were just had it with summer. Just took them up to the woods.
You guys,
we're going on a camping trip.
Just you guys.
I'll tell you scary stories till you fall asleep and then I'm going home. So she said her dad was finishing up a scary story when all of a sudden he stood up, looked around and said, what was that? And then he ran into the woods.
Stop it.
Leaving the kids behind.
Crying.
Near the campfire, too scared to chase after him. She said they couldn't even move from the fire at first, but after a few minutes, they worked up the courage to just run to the camper trailer. They sat there in near tears, waiting for the dad to quit, hopefully joking around, and come back. She
dad,
said,
it's not funny, dad.
She said, I kid you not, we were waiting for an hour.
That is a cruel father.
Right.
Because I'm guessing since she wrote this in that it has a relatively non-tragic ending.
Well, it has like a no ending because she said he finally came back and came inside the trailer acting like nothing happened.
Maybe he once, like the other person, all of a sudden the bean burritos from dinner really hit.
And you got to go in a hole.
And you've got to leave and it takes a while.
Yeah. Because you don't know.
And he's not going
to
come back.
You can't have confidence. You have to wait a little bit to make sure it's done.
You're not going to hike back to campground only to leave again.
Yeah, it's true.
When it hits again.
But I'd be interesting to know, because you know how time is kind of interesting when you're little?
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes can feel like an hour, but maybe he really was gone an hour.
I think the reason why you don't have any sense of time as a child is because your mom's like, okay, 5 more minutes. And so if you're at the store with your mom and she's like, okay, we're going to leave in 5 minutes. I just need to go look at the craft section.
Yeah.
It's 45. So and like, so you're like, that was 5 minutes. Okay. So now, and so then, yeah,
that's
it gets
true.
Very skewed.
So right.
They're on the phone talking or talking to a friend at church and they're like,
just a minute.
Like, that was a minute.
Yeah.
It felt like,
well, then
25.
An hour must be.
Yeah.
So she said that he acted like nothing had gone wrong and they were all yelling at him. What is going on? And why were you gone for so long? And he said, well, I went to get firewood.
What? Now, this dad is sounding very suspicious to me.
So I have some theories. So after he said, I went to get firewood, she said, I checked in the morning and he did not, in fact,
there is no firewood.
Come back with any firewood.
This is him covering up diarrhea for sure.
Well, just admit it. Because right now, I just think you're crazy.
Yeah.
And I think you might be a killer. Because she said he always still just gives them funny answers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I went for a walk. I don't know why you guys were so scared.
Oh my gosh. This is actually very, very suspicious.
You guys are my alibi. I mean, my kids.
We were camping all night
together. Did your dad leave at any point? Just to get firewood. Dun, dun, dun. I'm totally kidding to this dabber. I'm not making accusations that your dad's a killer.
We don't want to make you mistrust your father in any way, shape, or form.
But like maybe ask some questions.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And not firewood.
I think one of the reoccurring things here a lot of times is bathroom things because it's never an easy task for bathroom situations to take place.
Yeah.
Camping. You know what I mean? Even with the best of the best, it's not ideal.
Right.
And if you have a trailer and you're sharing it, you...
Close quarters.
So if you got to do a pretty big number two or whatever, you don't want to stink up that whole trailer.
Right.
If you are a woman and it's that time of the month, you can't be taking care of business in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to at some point probably hike to the campground bathrooms and get potentially murdered.
Oh my gosh.
All right. This listener wanted to double check the anonymity of this podcast and I reassured her.
Very anonymous.
Very anonymous. She said this was maybe 10-ish years ago when she went camping with her family and her cousins and everything in Idaho. She was actually training for a half marathon at the time. And so she needed to get a long run in, about 10 miles.
Whoa.
And so she decided to run back to their campsite from the reservoir after they had been boating.
Okay.
I can't even imagine. I'm like, I've been boating all day. Now I got to fit a 10-mile run in. Like, what? And to the campground.
Yeah.
Like, these are all things that, like,
sound horrible. Except
do
for the
not
boating.
Speak to me at all. Except for the boating. And she said, well, her sister and cousin decided, we'll come with you. Guys, who are these people that can just be like,
yeah,
I want to
join you
on your 10-mile run?
Through the wilderness.
Like, what?
Everyone just had their trail running
shoes. Is everyone just
hand?
Ready to run 10 miles all the time? Because this makes me feel bad.
In their beach bag, they've got like, their trail
running
shoes.
Because
I have
to like really train for a 5K, you know, if I want to run the whole thing.
Uh-huh. I don't want to like speed walk it.
No,
like,
right.
Take a little
like,
break.
It takes some effort. So to be like, oh, you're doing 10? I'll come. What?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, she said before they left, they had some tacos.
Knew it.
And so she
for
said
some reason.
And instead of following the narrow road, they took the dirt roads through the potato fields. Well, the tacos did not agree with her.
Oh my gosh.
And they were literally in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, potato fields, no phone. So she resorted to just having to squat.
So she was going
to
fertilize the potatoes.
Potato fields. Taco potatoes.
Gross.
And she said she had to squat in the middle of the field. Well, She said, nothing says Idaho like wiping your behind with potato leaves. And she said they were all dying at how ridiculous the situation was. Running through the fields the rest of the 7-ish miles was brutal.
Yeah.
They had no water.
Potato leaves.
That one's just on them. No water. Again, I'm on a 5K. I have a camelback. You know?
Well, and also potato fields are, they're not full of brush. They're low.
I Googled what a potato leaves look like. They're measly.
Yeah. So there's no cover for you right there.
Yeah, they're
bare bum, moon out in that potato field.
Taco repercussions. And she said they had no water and they were taking a while because, you know, the situation. And the dad actually came looking for them but couldn't find them since they weren't on the main road. They had decided to take the back potato field.
Did you see the evidence?
Honestly, no, because they were on the back roads.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, it's better that they took the back roads because she would have had to poop alongside a narrow road, the main road where people pass. Mm-hmm. So he thought they had been kidnapped and sold them to the sex trade.
Oh my gosh.
He finally met up with him and got back to camp. She said, needless to say, she have not and will not do any long runs while camping. But she's still going camping?
And she's still going running?
Two things that are once not again, on my list of things I like.
There are certain things you have to be like really prepared for. Like if you're going to do a big run, you make sure that you fueled the correct way and that you've got hydration.
Right.
You can't just go willy-nilly post-Mexican lunch and just think you can.
And you've been boating all day. You look maybe a little dehydrated.
Yeah, yeah. So things are going to be different than usual. And so just keep things simple, folks.
Right.
You know, the logistics of camping is ridiculous, you know, and the zippers.
Yeah.
It's all zippers.
Zippers on your pants, zippers on your sleeping bag,
your tent. Everything is zippers.
Your bags.
Because this listener said that she was taking her kids camping. And she just wants to say, camping with young children is no joke, and she doesn't see herself doing that again anytime soon. Because just regular in the night stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so she has a daughter who always has to get up and go to the bathroom in the night. Mm-hmm. She's like, she compared her to a grandpa with prostate issues. it's true. I have certain kids that I'll hear like ruckus in the hall and I'm like,
every night.
Seriously, why every night?
Yeah.
Like, that mainly only happened to me when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And
happens to me now that I've had kids.
Yeah. And so she said, everyone's asleep. Finally. It takes a while to get everyone to sleep in a tent.
Well, if you're all sleeping together, and so it's like you put the kids in the tent, you think you're just going to zip and they're going
to
be like,
go to sleep. Go to sleep.
And you're outside in paper thin walls, literally, and you're having fun out there. And they're like, what are we doing? What's happening?
Oh, I told you about the time I went camping and I had a little boy that crawled. He was less than a year.
And you said
he was just crawling all around the tent.
Yeah.
He could not settle down because he wasn't used to just like
being free.
It was almost like a bouncy house, just bouncing all around the sleeping bags, and they're slippery and zippy. And then there happens to be like a doggy door on this tent and he kept zipping it and crawling out.
Oh my gosh.
And
I kept sleeping like, with their dog in the tent.
And he kept crawling out and I was like, because he could reach that little tiny zipper.
Right. And like, if this happens in the night,
a cougar is going to get him.
Yeah.
So it was horrible. And so, she said that her little girl, everyone's finally asleep after going through that kind of debacle. And she hears, mom, I have to pee. So she has to unzip both sides of her sleeping bag because they've got cocoon style sleeping bags. And then unzip her daughter's, zoom, zoom, and then unzip the tent door, zoom, close it behind them, zoom, then help the daughter pee, probably all over herself.
Right.
And her mom. And then open the tent door again, zip, then get the daughter in the sleeping bag again, zip, zip, and then herself into the sleeping bag again, zip, zip. And then she hears, mom, from another kid who has been woken up
from the zipping.
It probably sounds like there's a legitimate hummingbird next to your ear. And so this kid saying, oh, I know I have to go to the bathroom. She repeats
every single thing.
Then when they get back in, the baby starts waking up.
Oh, of course.
And she has to nurse the baby.
I'm shocked the baby hasn't woken up at this point.
Yeah. Nurse the baby back to sleep and then zip herself back into the sleeping bag. Yeah. She said, next time I'm going to bring like camping tranquilizers for the kids. I don't know if those have been invented yet.
Or if they're legal.
But it's something worth maybe a scientist.
Right. Or go to a hotel and get an adjoining room. I mean, or that. Well, speaking of peeing in the night,
This listener said her husband wanted to go camping when they were college students and she happened to be about 6 months pregnant with her first. Now, I will say, I think a lot of people, camping has a draw because, yes, if you do have a tent and sleeping bags and everything, it's a quick little getaway that costs nothing or next to nothing. And so, yeah, for college students, for newlyweds, for families, just it's like we can't be doing the Disneyland situation.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, let's get out in nature and this is cheap. People feel like it's cheap. But sometimes I feel like it adds up faster than people realize.
Camping gear is expensive.
The gear and then the food and then like you have, anyway, it's just a lot. So I could see that. But she said she tried so hard. Oh, she said, of course she had to pee bad in the middle of the night because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And she tried so hard to aim, but this was her first time camping ever.
Oh, wow.
So let's take the first time camper that's pregnant.
Oh, and trying to pee in the night.
And she said she didn't know how to do it. Plus, plus when you're pregnant, things are different.
Yeah, like so you're looking down.
Pressure's different. You can't see as much.
Or you can't like lean certain angles as easily as maybe before.
So she ended up just peeing all the way down her leg and under her gray like velour sweatpants. And she had no choice.
Juicy. Another term, another version of juicy.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Gross. She had no choice but to sleep in them the way that they were because
disgusting pee pants.
Yeah, because it's like in a tent, they probably didn't bring extra jammy jams, and then it's in the middle of the night, so to try to dig through your bag to change. So she just slept in pee pants. And she said, "Let's just say lots of laundry to do when they got home."
No,
and I don't know how she feels about camping now, but I would just be mad that my husband took me when I was pregnant. My husband would never dare. Let me just say that. Like, he knows me too well.
He
I
would
know
never
him
have
too
the
well.
Audacity.
And once again, I just want to reiterate that I love the great outdoors, you guys. And everyone talks about the air when you're camping, sleeping under the stars, and all those things. Wonderful. Wonderful. In theory, wonderful.
Yeah.
And I can experience those things without sleeping there. I promise you I can. I promise you I can enjoy nature without that. You know what I mean?
Well, we were talking about how it is tricky. You have to bring every, you know, you're packing light, only one pair of velour jammies because you got to bring your food with you and all the things. So this listener said that they went camping with her husband's family. There's 10 siblings.
Ooh.
It's a big group.
Okay.
10 grandkids.
Okay.
They were all put into groups and assigned a meal to prepare for the camping trip.
You're preparing and a lot of food for people.
That is a lot. Yeah. Like you got a suitcase full of wieners because they did hot dogs. Because they chose hot dogs, actually chili dogs to be precise. But yeah, if you
let's choose the gassiest food while we all are sleeping in a tent,
confined spaces
inside of a giant Ziploc bag together.
And so, her family and her brother-in-law, they were in a group together.
Okay,
and so they settled on chili dogs. So,
have you ever eaten a chili dog?
I don't think I have.
I haven't either.
You know, if I ever have been at a barbecue and chili was an option, it didn't seem appetizing to me. But rarely is that even presented to me.
But I'm surprised I haven't because
it seems like a
food I would like.
It was
kind of, it sounds gross to me, but like I eat chili? Gas station hot dogs and I like chili.
You probably would like it.
Right,
I would
like some melty cheese.
I'm not speaking from experience. I just, those, that name,
it looks
that
like
food,
a lot to handle.
That food is talked about often,
right?
But never have I ever.
Correct.
Right?
I guess that's why I interjected with that, because I just all of a sudden had that thought. Like, it's very around me. I think they even sell them at Sonic.
Really? Oh yeah.
And so
with
I'm
some
like
cheese on top.
Yeah, but I can't imagine how that would come packaged to you.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it just end up a big old blob in the bottom of the bag?
I don't know.
A soggy chili blob.
Yeah, probably. That's what I kind of feel like. It would make the bun soggy.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and
right.
I don't
Which
love
is,
that.
I don't
idea.
Love a soggy bun. No.
The brother-in-law, he offered to bring the stuff for the chili dogs, and then they brought the sides, like chips and fruit and stuff like that.
Okay.
So anyway, he brought all the hot dogs, but no buns. Come on,
keto.
And he's keto. Just because you're keto
doesn't mean the rest of
do
us.
Do not force ketosis on the
on
rest
me.
Of us. We are surviving in the wilderness.
Yep.
Then as far as the chili part, he only brought one small can of chili. And they were like, bro, that's not going to work for the whole group.
And that was our main source of protein and fiber and carbs for everybody in this while we hike.
No
and yeah, there's no buns.
And it just so happened to be habanero hot chili.
Oh my gosh.
And they said, there's like 10 grandkids.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to eat this hot chili.
Read the room,
chili.
Man. Know your audience,
and
man.
And he just said, well, I love it, the hot kind.
Selfish much, Kevin?
Seriously. She goes, as you can probably guess, this brother did not have children yet. Right. And probably wasn't considering whether or not the kids would like habanero hot chili.
Or just everybody.
Right. I don't.
And one can, that's what really gets me. Forget the habanero thing. Mm-hmm. One can of chili, you think that's going to go across 20 people?
Yeah. Holy moly.
Or more.
Then, as they were preparing it, the grill caught fire.
Oh my gosh. Aren't grills supposed to catch on fire? I mean,
obviously, grills are supposed to catch fire, but this, I think everything got engulfed in flames.
Okay.
Which is real unfortunate. But if you bring the hot
what do you
chili.
Do? You're camping. And there's not there's a hose. No, and there's not, I mean, if you're.
Throw dirt on it?
If you're. Everyone's just scooping dirt up with hands and like throwing it on the grill.
That's what
if,
I would think of.
If you're not, I mean, if you're really prepared, hopefully you have an extinguisher.
Uh huh.
Most people would in their trailer or something.
Or like a bucket of water that's like a hand washing.
Yeah.
You know, like station.
Everyone's like, that was our drinking water. So everyone pack it up because we're heading home.
We won't have any water to wash down this hot chili.
Yep.
This hot habanero chili. And honestly, it's probably good that there wasn't enough hot habanero chili for everybody.
Nobody wants the blowback, quite literally.
Yeah, the repercussions. From that. The repercussions are dire.
Yeah.
And so I don't want 10 grandkids around me that have had hot habanero chili.
Two kids. This listener said, there was lots of camping in her family. I guess they moved states the summer before her eighth grade year. Mm-hmm. So they sold their house and they spent the summer traveling cross country.
Oh, wow.
To take her oldest sister off to college. And when they got back to the East Coast, they still didn't have their new house yet. So they stayed in the campground.
Okay.
For the rest of the summer. Mm-hmm. And she said, unfortunately, she had to start her first her first couple of days of school at a brand new place, living in a campground with her summer clothes that she'd been wearing camping all summer long. And she was so nervous and so embarrassed being dropped off by her mom that first day looking homeless. And she kind of was. But like, I think it all came to an end at a point.
Yeah, yeah. They eventually got like a house to move into and stuff like that. No, that would be the worst. I had a friend who lived in her camper while her house was being built.
Yeah, a lot of people up here have done that. But a lot of people up here, their campers are like bougie.
Yeah. And I mean, I think theirs was pretty nice, but she had littles. Like she had a baby and like a toddler and like a five-year-old.
Right.
And so it was a really long summer because the baby needed to nap sometimes and the toddler needed to nap sometimes, and they're all in this like 12 by 20 trailer, and it was rough.
Right. I wouldn't even try that. I'll be honest. All right. This listener said they camped at Chaco Canyon National Monument. So crazy how many things I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And then I
haven't heard of that.
I want to see that.
Chaco Canyon.
She did say it was very remote, but worth the drive.
Okay.
The last stretch of road to the monument, though, is 20 miles of pure gravel road.
Oh, wow.
So you have to go about like 15 miles per hour or you'll regret it.
Oh.
So she said they were in their Chevy Express cargo van with their five-year-old and three-year-old. And the van vibrated so hard. Their teeth were rattling.
Oh my gosh.
And their bums went numb.
Oh, I don't know if this is worth it.
But you're halfway there. So if it's like I have to
I'm
either
go
turn
that
around.
Same amount
yes, exactly.
Another way.
She said her poor five-year-old was in the back seat praying because he thought the van was going to break into a million pieces. She said once they finally got to the campsite and settled in, her 3-year old had the poop shaken out of their body.
Yeah.
So they had to hurry and walk to the camp bathroom, and all along the way he was singing, "Pooping powers activate.
Oh my
pooping
gosh.
Powers activate. Activate. Activate." Like the
like,
Holy
we don't
Spirit.
Need, we need you to hold on.
Don't
Do
activate,
not activate
the pooping powers. But she said they had never sang this version before, and now it's become a staple
their
in their house.
Lingo.
So see all these traditions and all these
they come
memories.
Out of these horrible situations. Mm-hmm.
It is reminding me, though, of this story. I can't remember what episode it was, but of the listener who was in Lake Powell and didn't poop the whole week because she was nervous.
Sometimes you do need those pooping powers to activate.
Yes, and they end up having to sing songs to her while they surrounded her with blankets, and they sang church songs to her. Mm-hmm. But that reminded me of that. They should have had the pooping powers activate.
All right, this listener said this was his first scout camp in Bear Lake.
Okay.
And he was really excited to camp. Little did he know, he's like, I don't know how I did not understand how this was going to work, but at scout camp.
My husband's a great man, but because men planned it. So they're not like most men aren't going to
communicate
all the deets.
Info.
Yeah.
So he said, you basically do classes all day long to earn merit badges. He was ticked. He would try to skip the classes and go back to the camp to try to have fun somehow.
Okay.
But one of the kids' dads there was a total punk and did not want him to have fun.
You will earn these merit badges, son.
Dang it.
Or else I will see to it. I will see to it that you do not get your Eagle Award by the end of this in 4 years.
And he said he was trying to have fun. He made like a squirrel trap with a Dutch oven propped up by a stick with a string tied to it and a treat underneath. And then in hopes of when a squirrel would go under for the treat, he could pull the stick out and trap the squirrel. But he goes, man, did I get yelled at for that.
Oh my gosh.
No fun allowed. Then, I mean, I guess in scouting,
wilderness training is serious business, son.
And we respect nature and the creatures and all the things
that God gave us.
So then he decided he's going to try to build a sweet fire for the night.
Uh-huh.
So that he wasn't even planning on lighting it, at least not at any point. He was just building it up. You know how they teach you how to make kind of like that teepee of kindling?
Right. That's part of getting a merit badge. Yeah. It's a class.
He could have just said, I'm practicing.
Yeah.
But that same guy said that wouldn't work.
And Ranger Ned.
He said that would never work for a fire and kicked it down. You guys, that guy is
on a power trip.
Is a dream crusher.
Yeah. I'm picturing him in like a full on uniform. Yeah, he's scout uniform.
I know he has a hat. With this scarf. Akin to Indiana Jones.
Yes. The scarf and like knee-high white socks.
A canteen.
And kicking over his guy's dreams along with his fire and his traps.
And for sure a canteen that has some kind of like Navajo print.
Right. Maybe some zinc sunscreen on his nose.
I can't believe that.
No.
This poor little kid, if he's at the first time of scout camp, he's got to be 12?
12 or
11?
I think it's like 12.
Yeah. Poor little kid.
I guess it depends.
But. Yeah. And so at that point, he's miserable and really mad.
Defeated.
Yeah. And he goes, someone ended up calling his parents.
Oh my gosh.
Who were like nearby on a trip.
Hold on.
Like saying, you need to come talk to him.
Oh my gosh. What did my son do? Did he like hurt somebody, or has he been mouthing off or swearing? Mm-hmm. Or, well, he tried to trap food and start a fire on at scout camp.
Isn't that called
that
camping?
That sounds on brand for scout camps.
That sounds like that's camping.
Sounds like he should be earning some merit badges for those things. But yeah, I guess we'll come pick him up. Like, okay.
So they pulled up to the campground to talk to him. And when he saw his parents, he was so relieved that he ran to their Suburban and locked himself in. He said, you can't leave unless I'm with you. I get it.
That's how I would feel if someone forced me to camp their way or camp. Just kidding.
He said, finally, there was a compromise that he could stay. And he said, okay, but I needed to skip the basket weaving class.
Oh my gosh. I always thought that was like made up.
And just do one fun, like, and just do fun stuff.
Yeah.
This today, if I'm going to stay. He goes, I guess it all worked out in the end, but that was my first scout camp experience.
And he doesn't know how to weave a basket now.
I know. So, failure.
Yeah. So he'll forever not know how to have that skill.
Yeah. So when times get tough.
Yep.
And you need to fashion a basket.
You won't be able to, son.
SOL, man.
Yeah.
Too busy building squirrel traps.
And fires, which sounds much more important than basket weaving.
You know what? If things get tough, fire building, I'm going to be friends with you, fire builder,
rather than the basket weaver. Like, who are you going to sell that to at the end of the world, you know? No, I just think it's funny because I remember growing up and I would kind of get jealous when I'd hear about the trips that the scout boys would go on.
They're evening things up.
They are,
these days.
But not like, and I had fun at girls camp, but it was like, we were crafting and doing like tear filled testimony meetings and the boys were like going rappelling at Havasu Pie
and or like whatever. River rafting.
Yeah. And like river rafting and stuff. I was like,
as
what's
much,
the budget?
As much
like,
as I love difference to, do
Tandy leather kits at the picnic table. Anyway, I just always assumed they were doing the fun things. But maybe that came later. Maybe they had to go through the...
Yeah, you got to earn some merit badges before you can hit the high adventure.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of girls camp, I feel like because there was a little bit of idle time, and this probably happened at scout camp too, but pranks were rampant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I pulled plenty, let's just say.
Well, I did too.
And nobody went home that I know of, but people cried. And I wasn't being mean, but we were just pretending like snipes were real and pretended like I got attacked by one. And I would jump.
It was all cosplay.
I was really convincing.
It was all LARPing.
I had moms call and say, I need you to tell my girls like after camp.
Oh, that snipes
aren't
real.
That snipes aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
And because they just are begging their dad to go snipe hunting. And he keeps telling them they're not real.
Uh-huh.
And they they won't believe him. They're like, Allison had one in her arms because I would jump into the bushes, like full body jump into the bushes, like I was jumping on something. And I had a garbage sack, a black one. And I would put my arm in there and then just keep my arm pinned really close. And I would wave my hand around frantically inside of the bag so it looked like an animal was moving in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And everyone's eyes are on the bag that's moving around, not realizing my arm
is not being seen.
Yeah. So that I did stuff like that and made people cry that way. And the A-frame, you guys took us to the haunted A-frame, scared the crap out of us literally, because then I pooped and put my hands in it. And that's on the other camping episode, I believe.
So. Well, yeah, they're starting to put kiboshes on all that stuff.
I know. And so the mean it, like, as far as anything that could hurt is we told the girls when we were snipe hunting that if they put toothpaste, a blob of toothpaste on the end of their nose, that the snipes wouldn't be able to tell, like, smell their fear.
Track their scent.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would throw the scent off because they'd smell toothpaste instead. And we told them if they were extra scared to put extra toothpaste on. And so there were girls with, like, caked blobs of toothpaste on their noses. And then that kind of burned. I mean, but it didn't like burn like damage.
A lot of menthol.
Yeah, it's just minty and kind of effervescent, you know? So anyway, this listener said she went to girls camp 1 year and some of the girls from another ward just decided to put Icy Hot on all the toilets as a prank. So she said some poor girls sat on it and they actually totally burned their crotches. And they were all crying. And they ended up going home. They found the girls who did it, and they also got sent home.
Well, if you're gonna prank to the point that's making girls leave, then you're probably gonna get sent home
too.
It's and honestly, they probably
if you haven't taken a dose of Icy Hot to the crotch, have you?
I know you have.
I have. It was just rubbing on my inner thighs, and it traveled, and it is scary. It's especially if I at least knew what the cause was.
Right.
But these girls were just trying to do their business,
and all of a sudden. Things are getting fiery.
Their undercarriage is burning. Their loins are burning.
No. And I mean, Icy Hot in the toilet, it actually doesn't, I think whoever thought of it.
Seems very benign.
Yeah. You're just like, their bum cheeks will get a little spicy.
Right.
But then, yeah, things end up going awry, which happens many times in pranks.
Right.
So you've just got to really think things through.
Totally.
I mean, hilarious.
And they're probably all laughing about it. Yes. Now. Even the girls who got burned by the Icy Hot, I believe they're probably laughing about it now. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this listener, this was just a recent camping trip. And she said, we had a total doozy this last weekend. So they took their brand new camper trailer up to do the Little Red Bike Race in Lewiston, Utah. So very tippy top north. Utah.
Okay.
She was signed up to do 30 miles on her bike.
Yeah.
She said, side note, she ended up taking a wrong turn and she did 45 miles. Woo!
No big. It's kind of like on Little Rascals. The sign gets turned.
Yeah. And you hit a few people at the grocery store and you're back on track.
And you're following people and you're like, I don't know if I'm following the 30 or the 45ers or the 100ers. I think you can go up to 100. Like there's different.
Like tiers.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she did above and beyond. So go you. But
not part of the plan.
That's a lot if you're not prepared.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is beforehand, though. They have to go to a camping ground and and they get all set up at this campground.
Okay, so after her race, she's camping.
No, so I think what they do is sorry, that was a side note. So they first get up to the Lewiston campground.
Okay.
And they're camping that night and she's preparing to ride, which is worse.
See, you need a nice good
night
of rest
to accidentally ride 45
miles.
And they get there and she starts filling up a pot to start boiling some noodles for dinner. And at the same time, her son is going to the bathroom and flushes the toilet.
Right.
Well, the water pump kept on going and going and going. So she asked him if he had finished flushing. He came out the door looking confused because he could still hear water somewhere. So she
rushing.
Looked, yeah. She looked underneath the sink and there was water gushing everywhere. So she said, hurry, go get your dad. And she tried to block it with her finger. But
because they're in a trailer, obviously. Yeah. Okay.
She tried to block it with her finger and the water is just spraying all over her and the bottom of the cabinet.
Yeah.
So her husband comes and turns off the water pump and says, why don't you do that in the first place? I don't know. I don't know how this thing works.
You just react and I don't even want to go start pulling on valves and things.
And so in order to fix it so that they can have water for the weekend for sink, toilet,
et cetera,
you know, shower,
drinking,
the only thing open was Home Depot.
Mm-hmm. But it was probably far away.
Yeah. So this is like late at night.
Yeah.
Home Depot. She has a race in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's getting ridiculous. Anyway, they find some kind of solution to fix the pump. So anyway, Saturday morning comes. She probably did not sleep very well that mm-hmm. night. They take their trailer up from Lewiston to Downada Hot Springs, which is 40 miles north. And they get there. They get into their swimsuits. They're getting all suited up. She's with her kids. So it takes a minute for all this to happen.
Yep.
And they'd bought tickets for the hot springs, the water park, just have a fun day as a family.
Right.
As soon as they start walking into one of the hot springs.
Hold on. When you're getting kids ready to go swimming at the beach, and it's equivalent to also getting ready to go out and play in the snow.
Yeah. You got the sunscreen, you got the swim diaper, you got the puddle jumper.
So much work. And then it's like, you're supposed to also have a lot of fun energy for the activity. So it's mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. what can I take that is less than cocaine, but more than caffeine? You know, because this, just getting everyone in their gear
to swim.
A lot. Yeah.
So they barely walk into the first hot spring. All excited. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a lightning and thunderstorm starts rolling in. So they can't spend the day at the water park.
And again, they just got them all.
Yeah. So they go up to the front desk, ask for a refund. They won't give them a refund.
Oh my gosh.
So they're ticked.
Yes.
So they said, fine, we're just going to go watch a movie in the trailer like we could have done in our living room, but much more comfortably.
And not be stressed about the water.
Yeah. And she was just so mad because she had finally talked her husband into buying this trailer.
You know, people try to argue that with me. They'll say, oh, you know what? If you trailer camped, you'd really like camping more.
This doesn't sound great.
This isn't convincing me.
Because she said previously they had camped different places. And she said the last place they camped, the bathrooms were like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Totally dark. No toilet paper.
Right.
And a year since they'd been cleaned at least.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I've got to have a clean bathroom. We do this often enough. We need to get a trailer.
And then they get one and then they have problems.
It's like leaking water and the whole trip is just a bust. She said, on top of all that, the neighbors who were camping next to them mm-hmm. were drunk, blasting the music at 12 o'clock for at least an hour. So her husband finally went over to talk to him and say, hey, can we like calm it down, guys? But because they were drunk, they were totally unreasonable.
There's not a lot of reasoning with the drunk campers.
No. So they called the cops.
Oh,
but they said,
are there campground cops?
Yeah. She said,
it's like a mall cop.
Incredibly slow to respond.
Well, because you're up in the sticks, man.
Yeah.
Which, like, again,
rowdy campers. Okay. Let's stop by 7-Eleven and get a treat.
Which, again, reminds me of, like, so if I need help in one way or another, fire, ambulance,
they're not in a rush.
Or even if they are, that's going to take a minute because they got to make sure they send the cop with the 4-wheel drive vehicle and the one that's closest, which isn't going to be that close. So, again, add it to the list.
Well, I told you guys a little bit about how we did that teepee camping trip.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago.
Bugs and...
Yeah. So we got there in the evening and we rented this teepee.
Right.
And it was really fun. Anyway, we ended up setting off the fire alarm inside the teepee. Other people were coming from different campgrounds wondering if everything was okay, if the teepee was engulfed in flames, things like that. And the bathrooms, when we rolled up, seemed okay. It was dark. Mm-hmm. We had to take our little lantern. And by okay, I guess I mean... nothing horrible was happening at the time.
At that very moment.
It was a seat inside of a wooden box. So I guess, okay, might be a stretch. But anyway, it was evening.
Optimistic.
Yeah. So next day, midday, when we went to go use the bathroom, some insects who had gone to sleep the night before when we first got there.
Right.
Apparently that's where they live.
Now we're in full force.
And they would dive bomb you.
While you were going to the bathroom.
It was horrifying.
You better make haste. And if you have to go a number two, like you, oh my gosh, dive bombing bugs.
For real, you were like, put something over your head.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't attack you.
But I have so many friends and neighbors that are campers. And they love it. And I'm so happy for you. And that's not my journey, personally. It's not going to be part of my life anytime soon.
It's true.
But if you're going to go do the thing, and there's a little hotel nearby.
Great.
Call me. Call me, maybe. And if there's hiking or swimming or fishing.
Paddleboarding.
Yes.
We'll do it.
On board.
Just let me go back to my bed.
And a shower. But for those of you who are heading out this summer, have fun. We hope that these stories gave you something to laugh at and something to maybe prepare for.
Yeah.
And when all else fails, if things go wrong, as long as you make it back alive, just remember.
Someday you'll laugh about this.
All right, you guys, keep gabbing with us. Follow along with us on Instagram, where we can put our story prompts so that if you have a great story to contribute, you can do that there.
And be part of our episodes.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Let's gab.
No, I see a big group of people. I don't.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they're mine.
Oh, I think they all look like our kids. Does that make it so you know what we're not
gonna... So that my boobs don't hit it?
Yeah.
All right. More bears. More bear stories.
I know. Last episode, I was like, why do we talk about bears so much in the podcast? And here we are.
You'd think we camp or something.
What?
Where's your little brother?
My little brother, he's stuck on the hill.
Oh, I got a wedgie. Hang on. This is... Okay. I am very nervous. I feel like a stomachache right now.
What did you do,
Brit? Okay. And I've also been very nervous to share this because...
Did you shoplift?
The stigma.
The stigma.
Okay.
I'm scared.
So,